Amen. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Let's give it up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the soon and coming King. Come on, somebody. Let's give it up for Jesus. If you are in a position to stand to your feet tonight, can I ask you to stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to honor the most important person in this place tonight. And it's the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, no one will be healed. No one will be delivered. No one will be drawn to the altar to receive Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, I am not in a position to deliver God's word. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. I pray that you anoint speaker and hearer alike tonight. I pray for receptive hearts tonight. I pray that you'll ignite an urgency in the hearts of your people concerning soul winning in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the honor. We magnify your holy name. And we just say thank you, Abba Father, for what's about to transpire in tonight's meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good evening, beloved. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. I just want to thank Pastor Keith and his wife and the leadership from Christian Heritage Church for the opportunity. I'm not alone tonight. I'm with Brother Aldine and Brother Moses, if you can stand. Amen. They said, no, tonight we'll accompany you. You can't go all alone. My wife would have been here with me, but she's so bogged down with work concerning Israel, because that's what we do. We take people to Israel too. So she's like swamped. But you'll see on Sunday morning. Amen. Did anybody come excited here this evening? Did you come expectant here this evening? Amen. So I head up a ministry called 836 Kingdom Ministries. It's built on a scripture, John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. We're an evangelistic organization. We do campaigns, crusades around the country. We do conferences concerning equipping and empowering the body of Christ, concerning soul winning. Then we minister in prisons and we do street evangelism. Amen. And so what you're seeing here tonight is a miracle. I think this side is awake tonight. Hallelujah. Let me come this side. It's only by God's grace that I'm standing here tonight. I said to the guys years ago on Friday nights, where were we? But I'm so privileged to be in the house of the Lord tonight, delivering God's word. I had to be dead or doing a life in prison. But grace snatched me from the hands of the devil. And so tonight, I'll be ministering from the context, go. Go. Hallelujah. Are you excited? And we thank Pastor Ted. You know, Pastor Ted has been my mentor from the time that I started the ministry. When I started Homestyles with Rhema, I was under Pastor Ted. I'm still under Pastor Ted. I said to the pastor that I'm accountable to. No, I'm still accountable to Pastor Ted, even if he's not at Rhema. Because he's an elder, spiritual guidance. He's a father in the faith. I honor, I respect him. You know, he spoke words into my life, prophecy, and everything is coming to pass. I went through some difficult times in my life when people walked away from me. But Pastor Ted just stuck. And I'm grateful. You know, in life you need one person to believe in you. One person not to give up on you. And to stand by you through thick and thin. And that was Pastor Ted. And today I'm in ministry and I see him as my spiritual father. Amen. So tonight I'll be ministering from the context, go. Go. Tell your neighbor to go. And I believe everyone here tonight is here for a reason. You came here tonight because you came with an expectation. Amen. And so my foundational text is found in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And I believe this is a fire conference. And I believe that God is about to ignite an urgency in somebody's heart here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. It says in Mark chapter 16 verse 15 in the New Living Translation, Jesus speaking, Jesus said to his disciples, he says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. The operative word in that portion of scripture is the word go. It speaks about a verb. It speaks about a doing word. It speaks about action. You see, the church of Jesus Christ is not a sit church, but a go church. It's a church that must be a church of motion. You see, the local church must never become a museum for good people. Come on. When I drove through Krugersdorp, the GPS took us down there. That's why we were a few minutes late, but we're not going to make an excuse for the GPS. I do apologize. I'm always on time. Amen. But when I drove down, I saw that there's a need in this community. Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. I love what evangelist Reinhard Bonnke says. He says, the church of Jesus Christ is a lifeboat, not a pleasure boat. We need all hands on deck. You see, many people think that it's only the fivefold minister's responsibility to lead people to Jesus. It's not only the fivefold minister's responsibility to lead people to Jesus. If you are sitting here tonight and you say that you're a follower of Jesus, if you are sitting here tonight and you say that you are a disciple of Jesus, then I want to say to you tonight, you have a responsibility to tell someone about Jesus. You see, many people, some people are called into full-time ministry. You may be not called into full-time ministry, but God wants to use every son and daughter of Him for the advancement of His kingdom. You see, the Great Commission was not a great suggestion. Jesus did not suggest to His disciples, try this and see what will happen. It was a command. He said, go into. Hey, He didn't say come in. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Go into all the world. Jesus gave that command. I love what Hudson Taylor said. He says, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. That's what he says. I want to say to you tonight, I've noticed that in many churches, you find believers that find themselves in a red zone and a amber zone. I'm talking about the traffic light. We all know what the traffic light is. When you approach the traffic light, you'll see red, amber, and green. But I've seen many believers, they find themselves in a red zone or an amber zone. They have just stopped reaching out to the lost, and others are still considering it. But Hudson Taylor said the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. You see, when Jesus gave the command to his disciples and said, go into all the world, Jesus gave us a green light. We must never find ourselves in a red zone or in an orange zone. If you are a follower of Jesus, you need to have a revelation that you have a green light to go into all this world and preach the good news to everyone. Jesus did not die in a building, people. He died in the public area. When I was in Israel, they explained to us why they crucified Jesus on that main road at Golgotha. Because it was a main road, they wanted everyone to see him crucified that passed by. I said to people in places where that's drug infested and gangsterism is rife, I said to the leaders the other day, I said, you guys complain that the drug dealers are the role models, that the gangsters are the role models. I said to them, it's simple. Do you know why the gangsters and the drug dealers are role models? Because they're visible. How visible are we as the church of Jesus Christ? If we are visible in the community, we will become the role models in our community. Do you know I'm so passionate about souls? Because you're looking at the man that was on his way to hell many years ago. But it's the good news of Jesus Christ, hey, that saved a man like me. It's the good news of Jesus Christ that liberated a man like me. It's the good news of Jesus Christ that set me free indeed. And if this good news could set me free, then certainly this good news can set the world free. There's no program that set me free, Pastor. I was 20 years involved in crime, and 8 years of it, 20 years, I was bound to drugs until I met Jesus, until I had an encounter with this good, glorious news. And Jesus Christ supernaturally delivered me 10.5 years ago. And what he has done for me, he can do for the world. How can we keep the sweet Jesus a secret? 20 years a criminal. Manufactured drugs, traffic drugs to other countries, sell drugs, use drugs. I was a rascal until I met the King of Kings. And when I said yes to Jesus 10.5 years ago at the 8 o'clock service at Rhema on the 8th of July 2007. I came to the altar with all of my baggage. Hallelujah. And Jesus asked me no questions. He set me free. Indeed, I did not need to go to a drug rehab. I did not need to go to a psychologist. I did not need to go to a psychiatrist. I came to Jesus, and this Jesus, hallelujah, set me free indeed. And 10.5 years later, I'm standing in Christian Heritage Church proclaiming the same Jesus. If I could keep Jesus a secret, it will be an injustice. The Bible says, freely you have received, and freely you must give. So I'm always just going, oh my God, I'm just ready to go, because I know what the King has done for me. Listen, beloved, old and young, very old and very young. I don't know where do I fit. Don't answer that. Because I must pray for you guys. Hallelujah. Listen, we must not become closet Christians. Jesus still sets free. He gave me a mandate. He said, now go. I can't wait. I couldn't wait to come to this church. My feet are just G-O, go. Hallelujah. And when I'm done Sunday, I can't wait to go to Cape Town. Hallelujah. We're going to put up a 1,200-seater tent in Mitchell's Plain where the gangsters are rife, where the drugs is rife. And we're going to proclaim this gospel of Jesus, because this gospel of Jesus never fails. It's still the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. I've seen many people, Pastor, fighting for the pulpit, gunning the pulpit of the pastor. Why is people gunning this pulpit? I'm 10 years in the church. Oh, when am I going to get a chance to stand behind the pulpit? I'm serving for 15 years. Listen, listen, listen. This pulpit has a purpose. This pulpit has a mandate. This pulpit is there to mentor you, disciple you, grow you. And once you grow, you need to go. Jesus said, go into all the world. What he said is, the world is your pulpit. Am I speaking to someone here? Yes. Why are you limiting yourself with a Sunday pulpit when you have 6 days to make the world your pulpit? I've heard many people say, I love my brother, I love my sister, I love my colleague, I love this one, I love that one. Let me say this to you. If you say that you love someone and you did not go to them and present them with Jesus, then I want to say you need to relook at your love. My wife has a best friend since grade 2. I love her so much. I love her this much. I said, really? I don't think so. She said, how do you mean? I said, have you ever presented her with Jesus? She says, no. I said, then I don't think you love her. Am I speaking to someone here? She says, well, I'll make an appointment. I said, good. That was my strategy. We went to the house. They cooked a beautiful dinner. I sat there. They took out the best cutlery and crockery. I thought, Lord, what a marvelous pulpit this is tonight. I couldn't get that food down quick enough because I had something better to give them, the bread of life. And when we were done, she wanted to dish up dessert. I said, just hold on with dessert. I got something else. Minister to them. Led her and her husband to Jesus. And when we left, I said, now I believe that you love your friend. Hallelujah! We need to go into this world. We need to go into our family circles. We need to go into our communities. We need to go into our schools. We need to go into the corporate. We need to go into the business circles. We need to go into this world and tell people that Jesus still saves. Amen. The question tonight is, when last did you go? When last did you lead someone to Jesus? We come week in and week out to the church. The pastor is giving of himself. And then we go home and we do nothing with what we have received. Am I speaking to someone here tonight? Let me share another scripture. Hallelujah. Go. Tell your neighbor, go. Tell your neighbor, it's time to take action. Oh, less sit and more move. Tell your neighbor, it's a go church, not a sit church. Come on, it's a go church, not a sit church. And I believe that every local church must have an evangelistic team. Come on. You know what's an injustice in our churches? That the entire responsibility is the pastors. It's an injustice. People take offense because the pastor could not make it to pray at the hospital for the family member. How much can the pastor do? Pastor, pray for my son. Pastor, pray for my husband. Pastor, come to the hospital. Pastor, my son is in prison. Pastor, this one, that one. Pastor, I got a problem with my husband. If the pastor just misses one, they take offense. They don't come to church again. What an injustice. And the devil is standing and saying, I like this. I believe every local church must have an evangelistic team. And I believe that the devil has amputated the evangelistic wing from the local church. And as long as we're in that place, we will not be effective. The question is, and I ask churches this, if your church was to close down tomorrow, will the community miss it? When last did you go? When last did you tell someone that Jesus loves you? That I know, for the Bible tells me so. We have an excuse. I don't know much of the Bible. Listen here. You don't need to know the entire Bible to lead someone to Jesus. It takes one word from the Holy Bible to change the destiny of someone. We need evangelistic teams in our local churches to come alongside the pastor and serve with the pastor. So when people are calling, the pastor just dispatches his evangelistic team. Go to that hospital and pray. Go to that home and pray. Go to that prison and pray. Go to that. Come on, come on, somebody. Go, 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 go. Because if the pastor is running around every day, when is he going to give himself to the word to give you good food? Am I speaking to someone here tonight? You know, I said, when people thought I'm opening a church, I said, no. I can't open a church. I don't have the gracing of a pastor. I don't know how to deal with followers. God bless you, pastor. Oh, but I love sinners. Hallelujah. Because once I was a chief sinner until I met Jesus. I was sharing with the guys This evening, I went to one prison. I got a very good friend of mine. We grew up together. We were at school together. He got sentenced to 42 years in prison for murder. A leader of note just perverted because the devil used him. A leader of note, this guy. Influential guy. But he did not understand his purpose. But God allowed me to go into one prison one day. And I came to his section. I did not know. And they came out. And there I had opportunity to preach the gospel. And he was one of the first to raise his hands, both hands. And as I saw him raise his hands, tears just rolled down my eyes. But if I did not go, how would you have known about this sweet Jesus? How many family members of you are still lost? How many family members of you are still bound? How many family members of you are still wayward? And you know what's our excuse? No, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to offend them.
So I don't to bring my beliefs upon them. Listen, let me tell you this. The greatest offense is people going to hell because we're in a place of complacency. Let me say this to you. Friends, don't let friends go to hell, and neither does family. Amen. We don't hear about these messages anymore. Hell is real, and so is heaven. How many family members are lost? When I got born again, I got my mother saved. Oh, come on. I got my brother saved. They still want to eat cake and tea. I said, just wait for that. I got something better. I got their wife saved, their grandchildren saved. Because I said, I want to end up in heaven with my family. When last did you go and tell someone that Jesus loves them? When last did you go and tell someone that Jesus is the answer? God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. Listen to what it says. Yeah, I love this. Matthew 28:19. It says, Jesus speaking, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are not only called to make converts, but disciples. It's twofold. I love what evangelist Reinhard Bonnke says. He says this. He says, evangelism and the local church are inseparable. It's like the Good Samaritan seeking an inn for the one He rescued. You cannot separate evangelism with what's happening in this local church. It's one. Evangelism is the heartbeat of God. It's the heartbeat of the church. The mandate of the church will always be souls. That's it. Jesus came to earth to die so that people can be saved. People are waving around a lot of things. I see some funny tricks people are waving around. But there's no salvation. Salvation is still the greatest miracle, beloved. We take this so lightly. When we were in Israel, last year, I ran down the stairs. My wife came down from the lift. When I looked, there was a Jewish man. He was a bus driver. The Holy Spirit said, go to him and witness to him. There's no gospel for Muslims and Jews, and it's one gospel. Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose on the third day. And when I came to this bus driver, I came witnessing to him. I had to go to witness. I could not witness to him 100 meters away, isn't it? Come on, somebody, you got to hear this. So I had to go. The Holy Spirit instructed me, and I came to him. I said, Holy Spirit, what do I say to him? The Holy Spirit said this to me. Tell him that men like him used to chase men like you. I said, whoa, what's that? So when I asked him, what did you do before you were a bus driver? He said he was a police officer. Isn't God just amazing? And when I came, I said, how are you doing, brother? And I started witnessing about this Yeshua. I witnessed to him, this man. And when I made that statement, he said, how do you mean men like me? I said, yes, this is who I was. And when I started witnessing to that man, he was so intrigued. My wife came, she stood. He said, no, we must eat. I said, no, you go along and eat. This is a soul. I can miss supper, but I must miss this opportunity. I witnessed to him. And then he said, no, okay, can we continue tomorrow? I said, no problem. I left. I said, Lord, may that man not sleep tonight. May my words ring in his ear. Hallelujah. And the next day, God is just too strategic. We were going to the Jordan River to do the baptism. And then my wife and I was walking alongside this guy, and we told him, brother, what do you say? He says, no, my family's religious, so they'll disown me. Da, 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 da. I said, no problem. I went, I paid for baptismal gowns. Come on. I paid for an extra one. I said, oh, I paid that. They didn't know. I put my cloak on, taught a bit on the baptism. As I entered the water, I turned. I just saw, here, the Jewish man is coming. You got to hear this. With his white gown, walking. Everyone started crying at the Jordan River. In Tiberias, in the Galilee. People started weeping. He came. He said, brother, I want to be baptized. I said, wow, brother, I'm here. I said, but before that, you need to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. We entered the waters. I witnessed to him. I led him to Jesus, and I done the full immersion. Hallelujah. That testimony of one Jewish man spread from the Galilee to Jerusalem. When we entered Jerusalem, everyone knew about that man's salvation. He said, please do not tell anyone about this because my family will disown me. I said, no problem. That was July. December, when we returned to Israel,
a Jewish messianic believer came and said, I need to share testimony with you. You remember the Jewish man you led to Jesus? His family were very religious. He said, in a few days' time, his wife said, you can come with the congregation to our house and his sons. We want to know more about Yeshua. Hey! Hallelujah! But if you do not go, the world will not know. For me, that was a highlight in my life, to lead one Jewish man to Jesus. And we think we need to know all these fancy things, just pure heart. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was bound, but now I'm free. I was blind, but now I see. Come on, somebody. I was dumb, but now I talk. I was lame and paralyzed in my sin, but now I leap with joy, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. God saved that man, and God is saving his family. Listen to what the scripture says in Isaiah 52, verse 7. Are you getting something tonight? It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation. Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke says it this way. He says, the gospel is not good news to people who do not hear it. The only reason why that man received is because he heard the good news. And I told him about Paul, that was a scholar, a Jewish man like you. Then I told him about Paul's encounter. He was like, really? And I said, these are the books of Paul. And he got saved. So when I call him to find out how is he doing now in Israel, the first thing he says, hello, brother. I'm walking in the footsteps of Jesus. What a testimony. So I'm excited that his family is going to get saved. The extended family is going to get saved. And many more are going to get saved in Israel and the world. It just takes one believer to witness to someone. This church is strategically placed in this community. There's a great need here. I used to go in a place called Westbury. Anyone know Westbury? I was born in Coronationville at the age of 6. My mom moved to Westbury. I thought, what? My mom is moving to Jurassic Park. Come on. Gangsterism was at its peak. Drugs were rife. But I thank God that my mom went back, because what we used to do on a Saturday morning, we used to go into Westbury at 2 o'clock every Saturday morning, put up our sound system, and we do church until 5 o'clock in the morning for a year. We preach the gospel where they're selling drugs. Strategically, before the guys go to the drug dealer, they must pass through us. Come on, somebody. So when guys came high with their money, I said, brother, come around the car. Yeah, I got something better, and it's free of charge. Better than crystal meth. Better than cocaine. Better than ecstasy. Better than heroin. He says, what? I said, put your money back. I witnessed to him. He receives Jesus. He gets delivered. He leaves there with Jesus and his money. The drug dealers were not too happy, and people said, are you not afraid that these guys will shoot you and kill you? I said this to them. I said, if I was not afraid to die when I served the devil, how can I be afraid to die now serving Jesus? You cannot kill a man that's dead to this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And one morning while I was preaching John chapter 3 verse 16, I was going up and down there, that street where the gangsters were preaching. I just saw 10 triple ones, man. Big Afrikaner guys, they came. And I said, this in charge, you saw. I said, yeah, ek, man. I said, for you, Slayton's two medio sound system and all. I looked at him, I smiled. I thought, you don't know my history. I might be a story, but you don't know my history. Ek skrik nie vir 'n sel nie. I said, meneer, ek doen my werk. Doen my jy jou werk. Sleep me maar toe. Miskien moet ek die evangelie verkondig in 'n police holding cell. I was actually, please arrest me. Come on, somebody. Please arrest me. Let me go into the cell and preach this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you know they cannot arrest the willing? Said, gaan maar net aan met wat jy doen, maar ek sê, dankie meneer, want toe bereik ek die evangelie. En toe verlos die Here mense daai oggend. Toe genees die Here mense. Toe red die Here mense. I thought, you know what? My past actually is an advantage preaching the gospel. Because if I was someone that didn't know a police cell, I would have said, okay, meneer, gaan alles af. So ek sê, nee, meneer, man, dis my werk, man, meneer. The only difference if I did arrest me, I'm not going back with death, but with life. I said, jy kan my boei, jy kan my toesluit, maar my mond kan jy nie stil maak. Ek sal dit doen in dieselfde manier. Choose. Am I preaching to someone here tonight? Maybe you're 15 years old here tonight, 20, 25, 45, 60, 70. The Lord wants to use you. It's not too late to witness. It's not too late to be used by the Lord. The Lord is just looking for available vessels. How much more do you want to learn in the church? How much more do you want to receive? Some of you have been impregnated. It's time to give. Someone is waiting for you. Your story can change someone's destiny. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I was with two guys that night. Normally we're 20, 30 on the streets, but that morning we were only three. And the two guys were like, I said, don't worry, man. I'll take this rap. You can go home with the sound system. Don't worry. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says here in Romans 1:16. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul speaking, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. First for the Jew and then also for the Gentile. I want to say to you, beloved, do not compromise your position in Christ to accommodate family, friends, or your environment. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I said to people the other night, they say, if Jesus does not do anything for me ever again, I will still stand on the rooftops of buildings and proclaim this gospel. Because what Jesus done for me 10 and a half years ago to save a wreck like me, he has done it all for me. He has done it all for me. I thought, my goodness, Lord, you have humor. My witnessing started when I was a chief sinner. I used to sell my drugs in brothels, in strip clubs, in all of those things. I was a lost man. And one night I came to drop off the drugs at one brothel. And when I came in, there were many women. But I noticed one. And when I stood, the owner said, I'll pay you now. I said, no problem. I called the one girl. And she came quickly. She thought, I'm going to ask how much. Come on. That's not what I was calling her for. This is what I said to her. I said, I want to ask you a question. What is a beautiful, decent young girl like you doing in a place like this? I started witnessing. Do you know what she turned around and said? She said, when you walked in, I thought the same thing. What is a man like you doing in this place? God used two sinners, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to witness to one another. I couldn't answer. I had no words because I had food for thought. What am I doing here? Is this really my life? You are born to witness. And if you say tonight, I'm born again, then we have no excuse not to witness. When I look across this church, I see witnesses for Jesus. And I believe that tonight's message is going to change the trajectory of your life. You might say, but I'm 15, 20 years, I've never done this. Let me say, the only way to get started is to start. Hallelujah. Listen to what the scripture says. I love this. Bailey E. Smith, just a quote, says this. Jesus' excitement is good and needed. Pastor Keith spoke about this just now. But Christian commitment is an absolute necessity. I go to many churches and people are quite excited. They're jabulaing, praising the Lord. And it's wonderful because I'm also excited in church. But I've noticed when they exit, no more excitement. You see, excitement is one thing, beloved, but commitment is something else. We need to be committed to witnessing. The question tonight again is, when last did you go? When last did you witness to somebody? I believe and I know not everyone's family members here are saved. Not every family member here are born again. Not everyone's colleagues are saved. You see, not everyone will receive. Some will reject it. But the important thing is, you have presented it. And when they reject, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. So you never need to take offense and take things personal. My wife said, I can't take it anymore. I said, well, I told you it will be difficult, married to me. I go into Pick and Pay, we live in Bedford View, and so I push a trolley. My wife says, this way, so I'm coming, and I go down the aisles with my trolley, and I said, auntie, or an uncle, or young boy, young girl, and I bump them with a trolley by accident. But it's not accident. Come on, somebody. God said, the world is your pulpit. And I said, oh, excuse me, I hurt you. No, I'm fine. I said, how are you? Sorry, my name is Thurston. Oh, when they introduce and they tell me their name, it's on. My wife come around the corner, you see, you must be born again. Hallelujah. You must be born again. It doesn't end there. When you come to the teller, I push the things quickly through. I said, look at me. You don't need to focus, focus. I want to ask you a quick question. 1 minute. She says, no. Just say this prayer after me quick while you're putting the things through. And I said the sinner's prayer, hallelujah. And I give her my business card. I said, call me, we need to get some material to you. Let me say this to you. I do not choose who to lead to Jesus. I'm not selective. God loves us whether we're black, white, wrong, right, rich or poor. I witness to all people whenever I get an opportunity. My wife said, let's go away for a weekend. One day I said, no problem, this will be good. We went away to Mpumalanga, beautiful place. By the second day, I felt like a dead man. I haven't witnessed. I had my shorts with broken t-shirt on. I was walking down the pool. I felt like a dead man. My wife said, are you fine? I said, I'm okay. Come on, somebody. I'm okay. And then one of the guys was serving so well, he came past and the Lord said, this is the guy. Here's my fish. I came to the guy, I said, Holy Spirit, tell me something about this guy. And the Lord gave me a download. And I called him, I said, brother, can I have a few minutes of your time? I said, no problem. I said, I just believe God telling me this. I told him everything. He started weeping. He raised his arms. He said, I tried Buddhism. Come on. I tried Hare Krishna. I tried Islam. I tried witch doctors. I tried fortune tellers. But nobody could tell me what you told me right now. I said, well, I didn't tell you anything. The God that created you, told you, and he wants a relationship with you. That guy raised his hands. I led him to Jesus. Oh, I felt the life coming back into me. Come on, some. I said, oh, yes, this is what we're talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying, brother? I led him to Jesus. I posted him a Bible material. He's witnessing right now in Mpumalanga, telling people about a God that revealed his secrets. I said, my wife, now we can enjoy the rest of our holiday. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Let's give it up for Jesus. Listen, beloved. Soul winning is not a program, but a passion. We have to become passionate about souls. Soul winning is not an event, but a lifestyle. It must be a passionate lifestyle. Souls are the currency of eternity. Souls. I said to the team the other day, I said, guys, there's nothing that you can take with you to heaven but a soul. You cannot take your house with you, your car. You cannot take your fancy clothes. You cannot take your bank account with you. You cannot take anything with you but a soul. So I determined that when I go to heaven, I want to be like a soul man. I want souls behind me. What is your desire tonight? There's nothing wrong with desiring a bigger house, a better car, good things in this world. No, there's nothing wrong. But your primary desire must be souls. I went to a conference. I preached the opening conference. And then we attended the rest of a conference, my wife and I. A preacher came up. He was there, smart, pastor. The church was packed, over 2,000 people. And this guy started preaching. And I was sitting on the road with my wife, and he was preaching. He preached and he preached and he preached. I said, oh, brother, you're good. And he preached and he preached and he preached. He took off his jacket. He waved his jacket. He threw it in the air and he walked off the stage. I looked at my wife.
I thought there must be protocol in this church. I looked at the leaders. The guy took the mic. He was about to end the service. I said, my wife, oh, just wait, babe. Excuse me. I said, brother, excuse me. It was packed. I said, please, please, please. He said, sir. I said, can I just have 5 minutes? Give me the mic. 5 minutes. I said to people, do you have 5 minutes for me? He said, yeah. I done the altar call. I gave him Romans chapter 10, 19 and 13. 80% of the church got saved. The Lord said this to me. He said, the kingdom in the mind is useless. It's a kingdom in the heart that's valuable. So you can preach, but if you do not present salvation, what you are doing is futile. What you are doing is just showmanship. And they looked at me and I came back. I said to my wife, if they don't invite me back here, it's also okay. But these souls are behind me when I go to heaven. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Give it up for Jesus. Listen to what Amos chapter 3 verse 8 says. And I'm giving you the word because the entrance of the word brings light. All the scriptures directs to soul winning. It says the lion has roared. Who is the lion of Judah? Jesus. So he says, so who isn't frightened? I love this part. It says, the sovereign Lord has spoken. So who can refuse to proclaim his message? How can I refuse to proclaim his message? Whether I have money or not, I proclaim his message. Whether I'm driving or walking, I proclaim his message. When I'm challenged or not, I proclaim his message. I'm not moved by natural disasters in this life. I will proclaim this message until I go to be with the Lord or until the Lord comes back. But my prayer is, Jesus, tarry. That's my prayer. Tarry, Lord. Don't come back now. Because so many are still lost. Tarry, my God. Just wait, just wait. Let's just proclaim this gospel a little more. Let more people become saved and born again. If Jesus comes back right now, thank you. But what will happen to our families, friends, people that we're connected to that did not yet say yes to Jesus? Amen? Amen. Are you receiving something tonight? Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20 says, Paul speaking. He says, so we, me and you, are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's what evangelism is. Pleading with the world and saying, come back to God. We need to go back to basics like the church. Preach on street corners, man. Knock on doors. That's the way to do it. We preach on street corners. Some drug shops, when the guys are coming in, the drug dealer is serving him crystal meth at this side of the window, and I'm knocking on this side of the window. With the track of Jesus. I just do it that way. The one that's a drug dealer, just, wach. I will not go tell from the Heere, wach man, with your drugs. I said, the guy is high. He's looking at the crystal meth. He's looking at the track. He's just, he doesn't know what to do. Messing him up. But I said, Lord, I trust your word. Hey, your word is more powerful than crystal meth, man. This guy can take that crystal meth, read your word, and be supernaturally delivered. Because what you have done for me, you can do for him. One day I came to my mom. My mom still resides in Westbury. She said, I'll never move out of this place. Because she's witnessing to people now about what God done. We're four brothers, but two of us were very wayward, and God delivered us. And so the other brother is with me in ministry. He works, but he's with us in ministry. And so my mother is now witnesses to many mothers about this Jesus that did not only deliver one son from drugs, but two. And she's leading mothers to Jesus. And she's helping mothers with their sons through us now that's bound to drugs. Come on. Because she caught it. Because evangelism is not taught, it's caught. And one day I came to my mom, I was in the kitchen, said, must I make you tea? I said, it'll be nice. Then I saw the drug dealers having a meeting. I said, mom, just wait for that tea. I ran down. They were discussing their business, the profit sharing or something, Pastor. Come on. I went down. I greeted them. I said, hey, gents, how are you doing today? Then I squeezed myself in, into the circle. I said, hey, do you mind if I pray for you guys? Maak het in Afrikaans gepraat. Moes hy straat Afrikaans, weet moes hy. aan die manne. Hy sê, hey, you could see they were a bit apprehensive. Ek sê, nee, gaan nie lang vat, Jesus, laat ek dit bid vir julle. Maar voor ek bid, ek wil die goeie nuus sê. This guy was still discussing profit sharing. And I started witnessing to these guys. Witnessing hardcore. Because some of them used to sell drugs for me. Come on. Some of them were arrested for me. And I witnessed to these guys. And when I said, born again, they said no. All of them said, no, nee, my bro's nie reg nie, da, 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 da. Ek sê, no problem. Because the Bible says in my heart when I walked away, one plants, one waters, and God brings the increase. Maybe I just planted. A few days went by. I was driving on my way to an appointment. My phone rang. You got to go, people. And then this guy said, hey, how's it? I said, no, good. I asked who it was. He told me it was one of the drug dealers. Of that day, almost a week ago. I said, what's happening? He said, where are you? Can you come to me? I said, where are you? He said, I'm lying in hospital. Oh, sweet Jesus. He said, I had a double bypass after I spoke to you. I was in a coma. I just woke up from my coma. And I just feel I had to call you. You need to come to me now. I canceled that other appointment. You turn. I said, you got to go to Flora Clinic now. I stepped into Flora Clinic. He was lying in intensive care. I walked to him. He didn't say much. Tears rolling down his eyes. He said, lead me to Jesus. Hey! I led that drug dealer to Jesus. When he got discharged, look at how powerful Jesus is. When he got discharged, he was living with his girlfriend. When he got discharged, he went, he closed all his drug shops, engaged her, and he married his girlfriend. He has a legitimate business today. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God amazing? Come on, we can do better than that. Jesus still saves. Amen. Listen to what Romans 10 verse 1 says. Brethren, sistren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Paul was speaking about Israel. But my desire and your desire tonight must be for the salvation of Israel, Krugersdorp, Johannesburg, South Africa, and the world. Maybe, can I say this? Is this okay? Thank you, Pastor. I said to people today, I'll just say this. It's okay, yeah? No, this is a matured crowd. Our government must establish the alliance again with Israel. You bless Israel, you'll be blessed. You curse, you'll be cursed. Our rand is so weak. If we reestablish our alliance with the Jewish people, we will flourish as a nation. We have been engrafted in so that we as Gentiles can benefit from and be nourished from the olive root. There's no replacement theology. We as a church not replace the Jewish people. We won. So I want to ask you this evening, pray for the peace of Israel. And pray, beloved, for the Jews to come to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm coming to a close and then we're going to pray for people. Amen. Come on, if you're going to give God a hand clap, give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. I'll say this too. People say they are saved, but they're against Jewish people. I don't think they can be saved. Hulle nodig verlossing. I don't know how they're reading the Bible. We are one. And we are the key to the Jewish people, us as Gentile believers. My wife always gets Messianic guides. They're professionals. They go to guide school. But the company we partnered with in Israel is a Messianic company. Their owner is a Messianic believer. But some of his guides are Messianic believers and some are Jews, normal Jews, following Judaism. So my wife always pushes and pushes for Messianic guides. But they guide exactly the same with scripture and everything. The difference is they're just not born again. So that day I told my wife, stop. Please get a guide for the next tour that I'm going on. That's just a Jew. He's going to guide us with all his knowledge. And then we're going to guide him to Jesus. How will this man hear the gospel if we always have Messianic guides? How will you hear testimonies that this Yeshua that you don't believe in delivers, man? I said to my wife, the rest of the guys for the rest of the year, I want men following Judaism or women, because I want to preach the gospel to them. Because they guide and then we preach at different sites. How good they guide, tell us certain things, and then we start preaching about this Jesus. So he's hearing. Come on. And only he can only believe if he receives, and how will he receive if someone speaks? So I can't wait to go to Israel the next time. Hallelujah. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30 says. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So then we can also say, he who does not win souls is foolish. Not you. Some of you are like, no, not you. Come on, I love you. Amen. Come on. Listen to what Daniel says, and we're coming to a close, and I'm going to pray for people. Are you getting something tonight? Are you receiving something tonight? What do we need to do? Go. Hallelujah. Look what Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 says. I love this scripture. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. This is beautiful. He says, those who are wise, again the word wise, will shine as bright as the sky. And then it says this, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. I want to be wise, and I want to shine like a star forever. But the only way I can be wise is to win souls. And the only way I can shine like a star forever is to lead people to righteousness. The question tonight is, when last did you go? And when last did you tell someone about Jesus? That's the mandate of the church. Everything else comes after that. First things first, salvation. Salvation. My wife and I, someone asked me to do a renewing of marriage vows. I said, hey, they said, no, it's not marriage. I said, whew. I said, Pastor Ted, you do those things. I don't marry people. I get people to heaven. I love doing funerals. That's the best platform for evangelistic message. Come on. So I went and I done the renewal of vows. Pastor Ted gave me some good notes. I said, please, you know, it went well. And then a Muslim man came up to me. He's a doctor, a learned guy, wealthy. And he had such a good things to say about the message. Then I looked at him and I started sharing with him, and then I made an appointment with him. And last week I drove all the way to Pretoria to his clinic. And I went to go and see him. He didn't know why. But I said, Lord, just guide me. And when I stepped in, he told his receptionist, for an hour, no patients. We went into his office, closed the door, we sat. And I said, Lord, how do I? You better go. Most of them are dear in the east far. Sometimes you have to use wisdom. And then the presence of God just came into the office. And I didn't need to break the ice. He started speaking. He started like this, saying, I'm searching for the truth because I want to lead my family in the right way to be saved one day. I'm a born Muslim, and I started witnessing with this guy. 2 hours he gave me of his time. Come on. 2 hours. And then the Lord said, befriend him. Don't even try to say, do you want to receive Jesus? The Holy Spirit just said, no, not today. You need to befriend him. This man is trusting you. He's putting all his trust in you. We witnessed and everything. We had lunch. And I left his office. He says, please, I'll call you soon. We're meeting again. I said, no problem. He had so much questions to ask. He's a learned man. But the Holy Spirit answered it all. So he's my very good friend and he trusts me. And then he said this to me, you're not like the other Christians, man. These people, they condemn me. They speak to us, you know, down on us. I said, no. Are they saved? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. My wife said, are you really going? I said, yes, baby. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I made an appointment with his brother. I don't have a degree like him, but I have one degree, a G-O-D. Hallelujah. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 says. It says, and this is powerful, I have become Paul. I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. The question tonight is, are you a slave to all people to bring many to Christ? I said to the team last night in our prayer time, I said, you know what? My life is not my own. I'm not in control of my life anymore. I go to bed thinking of souls. I wake up thinking of souls. I go to bed thinking, Lord, and with a grateful heart, what you've done for me 10 and a half years ago.
you can do for so many people. Someone is waiting for your story. Someone is waiting for the good news. Mom, dad, young boy, young girl, brother, sister, someone is waiting for you. Listen to what James chapter 5 verse 20 says. It says, he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Imagine that. Save a soul from death. In our ministry, we have a ministry of about 30 people. They're young, from the age of 18 to 32. They caught soul winning. The other Saturday, we were on the streets and the prison. We won 197 souls that Saturday. And I said, the sun was setting. We were on the cusp of a border of Coronationville and Westbury. And I said to the guys, no, man. Okay, guys, sun is setting. Let's leave it. And the guy said, no, we're not going home until we hit the 200 mark. I thought, this is good. They ran to people witnessing. They were there witnessing. They came back and said, we got three more. There, we got 200 for the day. Now we can go home. I thought, my heart was full of joy from the age of 18 to 32. I can't even go out with these guys to restaurants anymore. Go to Ocean Basket, and when you see all the waiters are raising their hands, they're like, hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? Young youth and young adults are on fire leading people to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Listen to what Luke chapter 5 verse 10 says. It says, Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. That in a nutshell is evangelism. Fishing for people. The question tonight again is, when last did you go fishing for people? When last? And listen to the quote from Carrie R. Blake. It says, this is powerful. If your gospel isn't touching others, it hasn't touched you. Whoa. If your gospel isn't touching others, it hasn't touched you. When last has the gospel that saved you touched somebody else? When last? When last? Someone is waiting for your story. And then we give God all the glory. When last? As somebody's, your gospel touched you, touched somebody else. I love what pastor, I met him, he's from England, he's from Cape Town. We were together in Cape Israel when I led a Jewish man to Jesus. He came to me, a tall, strapping pastor, he's over 60, lovely man, loves the Lord. He came next to me, said, Thurston, I said, yes, pastor. He says, God is humorous, eh? I said, why, pastor? He says, he takes an ex-thug with tattoos all over his body to lead this Jewish man to Jesus. I was like, yes, pastor. He says, God, I love God for this, man. God wants to use you, each and every one here, to witness to somebody. Somebody is just waiting for your witnessing. Somebody is waiting to hear about this sweet Jesus. I don't get enough of telling people about Jesus. I was sharing with pastors yesterday. I said, we came into one, and I'll end with this. We're going to pray. I came into one a prison. I'll never forget that day. Pastor Keith, I came into the prison. I was ready. I got a message prepared. They said, no, it's an outreach in the courtyard in Medium B, Johannesburg Prison, where all the inmates are, where the gambling, where the gangsterism is taking place and all of this. And we came in, I was ready, put my little mobile pulpit ready and the benches packed and we're ready to preach. And this is what happened. You see things that you've never experienced in a building when you go. And then I saw a cloud descending upon the entire prison. So I rubbed my eyes. I thought, maybe, am I seeing correctly? And I turned around and this entire cloud settled upon the prison. It was like hovering upon the prison. And I just heard the Holy Spirit says, this is my glory. And I stood back. And then God said, close your Bible. Close that message. Today I want to speak to these men. And then as I opened my mouth, I couldn't preach. I started bawling my eyes out in the prison. And the presence of God filled that entire prison. I saw gang leaders falling to their knees, repenting. Men were weeping in that prison. I've never experienced that in my life. The glory of the Lord came upon that prison. And then when I started speaking, the Lord said things that I've not heard before. Every man came to Jesus in that prison, which doctors came and threw their muti out and repented. And we led men to Jesus. You know what those men done, the ones that were saved, a few of them? They went and took Kool-Aid. You know Kool-Aid, the mixture? Red Kool-Aid, they mixed it in a little bottle. Someone had crackers in the prison, one of the inmates. They came with that after the service. They said, let's do communion. I just cried and cried as I left. I just cried. And I said, Lord, if we did not go to this prison, we would have never experienced what we did. Someone is waiting for you to come and convey this good news of Jesus Christ. I'm just grateful tonight that Jesus saved me from hell. I'm just grateful to be in a relationship with Jesus. And I'm so grateful and humble, Pastor, for you considering me to come and be a part of this family and to connect with you beautiful people. But I want to say to you tonight, it's time. Uncle Angus says, it's time. We are saying, it's time tonight. It's time to rise up. It's time to take back the streets for Jesus. It's time to take back the street corners for Jesus. It's time to take back the homes for Jesus. People are waiting for the congregants of this church to go and to tell someone about Jesus. The youth are lost. I noticed one street, the prostitution is rife in that street. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Did you receive something tonight? Yes. Go, 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 go. These two young men, when did you connect with us? In February. Both Aldine and Moses was at school with me, but Aldine was in my class. And God connected us years after that. In February this year, they connected with our team. And these guys, March, April, May, in 3 months, they're witnessing. He went to the prison the first time, the other day, and he led to someone in prison to Jesus. They caught it. They saw their hearts are beating for souls. So I said to them, on all their shoes they must come, because I want to paint G-O on all their shoes and tackles. They must never forget what their mandate is. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed, before I do a special prayer, I want to ask everyone here tonight, maybe you're sitting here tonight, you have never ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm not going to assume that everyone is born again, that everyone has given their lives to Jesus. Or maybe once before you did serve the Lord, but you find yourself on the prodigal side of life. I want to say to you that God is not mad at you, but God is madly in love with you and still mad about you. Maybe you are honest with yourself tonight and you know that you're far from God. God loves you. He wants you to come back. If I were to ask you tonight, if you were to leave this earth in the next 24 hours, and you do not know what will happen to you, well, I have the answer, I have the guarantee. His name is Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that is you tonight, you say, Brother Thurston, please pray for me. I want you to raise your hand. If there's anyone here tonight, if there's anyone here tonight, I see that hand, I see that hand. If there's anyone here tonight that says, I want to receive Jesus, my Lord and Savior, let me say this to you. If I drop dead right now and Pastor Keith comes, lays his hands on me, raises me from the dead, it's just a miracle. But the greatest miracle is when someone says yes to Jesus. Salvation, beloved, is the greatest miracle. And God desires to have a relationship with each and every one here tonight. God desires to spend eternity with you, mom, dad, brother, sister, young boy, young girl. If that is you, if you have not raised your hand and you say, I want to be included in that prayer, please raise your hand. Jesus loves you, that I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. Amen. I want the people that has raised their hands, that's fine, to meet me at the front. Amen. Not to embarrass you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give them a round of applause. Amen. Can we just maybe play a song? Please, Pastor King. Can you meet me at the front? Amen. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You can meet me at the front, not to embarrass you. Come. Whoever has raised their hands, it's okay. I'm also in front here. Come. You can come. The ones that has raised their hands, come. Come, come. Come on, let's encourage them. This is a moment in time. The Bible says, when one sinner comes to repent, there's a roar in heaven.
Please.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. 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 If this conference was organized for just one individual to come to Jesus, then it is worth it.
Amen.
One. Jesus loves you. Well done. Amen. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. You just repeat this prayer after me. Is that okay? Maybe you're in the pews and you're not as bold as our family in front and you want to be included in this prayer, you can repeat this prayer. Christianity is all about inclusion, not exclusion. All is welcome and there's always place for one more. Amen. So if you want to be included in this prayer, please say this prayer with me. I want all to stretch your hands and we're going to say this prayer. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Just repeat this prayer. So say, Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose on the third day. I now receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Congratulations. Amen. Congratulations. Congratulations. I want you just to remain standing because there's one call I want to make and I'm going to pray over more people. One more call. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8 says, Isaiah speaking, he says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. If that is you tonight, you've heard the message, God has spoken to your heart, and you say, Brother Thurston, that is me. I want to be used by God. I want to go witness to my families, to wherever I am, in the workplace, in the corporate, wherever I find myself, at school, colleges. If that's you tonight and you say, I also want to be obedient as Isaiah was and say, here am I, send me. Come and meet me in the front. It doesn't matter about your age. It doesn't matter about your qualifications. It just needs an available heart that will come and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Are you okay with that? Amen. Here am I, send me. Don't look at your qualifications. Don't look at how much you know. Don't look at all of that. That's not important. God looks at the heart. At the heart. And He wants to use each and every one here in a special way. In a special way. Let me say this to you. And I'll say this with all sincerity. If God can use me, He can use anyone. I got no qualifications. I was saying to someone the other day, I'm so humbled. I was doing very well at school, but then I became very naughty. I didn't even finish my matric. Listen carefully to me. No qualifications, nothing. I didn't even finish matric. But today on my board of the ministry, we have a ministry in South Africa and in America. We raised it last in America. 86 Kingdom Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia. And the guys on my board are all guys with degrees, accountants and lawyers and those type of people. I don't have a degree. I don't have a matric. I just got some tattoos and a dark past. Come on. Come on, are you hearing me tonight? But I have Jesus. And all you need is Jesus for this world. People want to know who this Jesus is. And you have this Jesus. So Pastor Keith, there's an army in front here.
Amen.
One will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight. Imagine the demons trembling right now for Christian Heritage Church. It's army. Raise your hands. I'm going to pray a prayer over you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He does not call a qualified. He qualifies the call. He's not looking for ability, but availability. He's more able. You just need to be available. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for each and every one here. In the name of Jesus. I thank you for each and every one. In the name of Jesus. Sorry, Moses, can you just move this heater? I think. Please, sorry. I think if it's possible. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Close your eyes, raise your hands, and God is just going to touch you in a special way tonight. Father, I thank you for each and every one stepped forward. Young and old, age does not matter, Lord. All that matters is that the heart for the lost. I plead the blood of Jesus over this army standing to attention here tonight. Ready, Lord, to be launched out into this world, to plunder hell, to populate heaven, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I declare holy boldness upon each and every one. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you'll use them in a mighty way, that you'll lead them, that you'll guide them in the name of Jesus. I draw down every stronghold of fear right now in the name of Jesus. If you have not given them the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen each and every one standing to attention from the inside out, spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray, Lord, that you'll take them deeper, then you'll take them higher in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you'll give them the utterance of your word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, I thank you for each and every one here tonight. Father, each and every one that has availed themselves for the work of the kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their sacrifice. I thank you for their obedience. I thank you, Lord, that this place and this community will never be the same again, my God. I thank you that Krugersdorp will be one for Jesus. I declare and decree this evening that Krugersdorp belongs to Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that they will go to the highways, to the byways in the mighty name of Jesus, that their homes will never be the same again, that their families will never be the same again in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, that their lives will never be the same again. The colleges, the corporates, their businesses, Father, in the name of Jesus. Their communities, Father. Father, I pray that you'll use them in a mighty way in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray that you'll draw them closer to you. Give them a deeper revelation of your love, of your mercy, of your grace, of your faithfulness. Father, I pray that you'll take them from one degree of glory to another, from strength to strength, from victory to victory, from triumph to triumph. Take their wounds and give them wisdom in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I cancel any doubt that they have, confusion right now in Jesus' mighty name. I pray right now, right now, right now in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I thank you for each and every one that has availed themselves this evening, Father, for the work of the kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so, Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We magnify your holy name. And we just thank you for each and every one in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to do one more prayer. Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. So Sunday is Holy Spirit Sunday. Hallelujah. Are you good? I want to pray for healing and then we're done. If you trust in God for healing tonight, remain standing in front. I think we must take, someone must take all their names and this will be your army, Pastor. This is like excellent. And let me say this, what we will do for you guys, for this army, I'll liaise with Pastor Keith and then what we're going to do is, then we'll come and just do some practical with you guys. Is that okay? How to lead someone to Jesus on one hand. Simple things. my policy and my belief is be led by the Holy Spirit. That's it. But someday we're getting to all of that. And then we'll come with you guys and we'll work the streets of Krugersdorp with you guys. How's that? With our team. Is that okay? Will that be a kingdom partnership? Hallelujah. We get all the prostitutes, all the drug addicts, all the lost people into the kingdom. Is that okay? But myself and Pastor Keith will discuss and we'll see how we can do it from there. If you're trusting God for healing in your body, physical healing, I'm 3 minutes over now. Physical healing? Yeah. Healing in your bodies, maybe healing in your mind, and maybe emotional healing and hurt. Whoever is trusting God for healing in every area of their lives, remain standing. And the others, if you're not trusting God for healing, but if you're trusting God for a family member, you can stand in a gap. Be like the centurion tonight for someone. Maybe a friend, a family member. I'm just a little open. Is the okay. Thank you, Pastor. Healing, healing, healing. And please, do me a favor. Invite someone to church on Sunday. Actually, invite two. You have two hands, so bring two with you. Say, like we're going. Come on, somebody. Amen. Jesus. And Sunday, we're going to have another good time. But tonight, I'm going to pray for healing. Jesus still heals. You know, when you search the scriptures, you will not see that Jesus rebuked storms all the time or walked on water all the time. But what Jesus done all the time, every day, was heal and deliver people. That was Jesus' heart, and it's still his heart. He's still a healer. Amen. He's still a healer. That song of I am the God that healeth thee. Oh, that's beautiful. Raise your hands, close your eyes. Everyone is stepping forward, but with a different expectation. You know what healing you're trusting God for. So you step forward by faith. By faith. Close your eyes and just allow God to touch you. Healing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Jesus. For this precious young girl, I release your healing virtue to flow right now. Receive healing right now. Kabarabu Satan. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, healing right now. Healing upon this precious young girl right now. Every abnormality, we call back to normality in the body. And we declare yield. That by the stripes of Jesus Christ, she's healed, she's well, she's strong, and she's going to live long. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing. Raise your hands, close your eyes.
I am the Lord.
In Jesus, thank you, Lord. Touching this young girl. In Jesus' name, receive. Don't fight. In Jesus' name.
I am
in Jesus' name. Healing right now. Healing. Your you know what she's trusting you for. Touch her in the name of Jesus. We command thou art loose. In Jesus' name. Healing. Restoration. In the name of Jesus. And we just thank you today, Lord.
I am
in Jesus'
Lord.
Name.
You are the Lord. And he left me.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. And if you have a testimony of God healing or delivering, share it with Pastor Keith. And then we'll see you on Sunday.
Amen.
Invite two people. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you. I'll tell